If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. A lot of my titles to my messages are just simply phrases. This morning we're going to deal with a question. And the question is, are you pleasing God? Am I pleasing God? So that's our title for this morning. And we'll read a verse, we'll pray, and then we'll get into a message for this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Notice with me, it says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." Let's pray. Everybody, Father, we bow before you this morning. And Father, we already come before you with our prayer petition and those that are on our hearts, those that have lost loved ones. And Father, those that are in need of healing, and Father, in need of help. And Father, we especially pray for our pastor, Pastor Tom, this morning, that you would be with him and his body. We pray that you would give it strength to heal. And Father, be with him. And Father, Sister Joyce, just be with them. Give them a blessing today and those that we've mentioned before. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Be with this message. Be with your people and their hearts. And Father, I pray that you would suit a blessing this morning. And Father, if there be one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that Father, you would allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work in the heart. And Father, allow them to make the right decision today to trust you as Lord and Savior. Now be with your word as it goes out and strike a knot from my lips. And Father, let me think and say the right things for you. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this morning, here in Thessalonians, we will just take a verse or two. I also want to draw your attention to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to deal with this theme on, am I pleasing God? That's the question we want to ask ourselves and ask this morning. And there's so many things that you and I can get caught up in our life, in the world. Am I getting the signal here? I got to make sure I turn my microphone on. All right. We've got contact. 1 Thessalonians, you and I, as living in America, we can get wrapped up in many different things in this world, in our life, at work, in our business, in our family, you name it, entertainment. You can go down through a whole list that easily can capture our time. It can capture our imagination. It can capture our money, our treasure, and our talents. And so looking at a very important question, and the question this morning is am I pleasing God? Here in 1 Thessalonians, in the setting, they were dealing with this church. And one of the things that was mentioned here that we read, he said, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." And look at the second chapter in 1 Thessalonians, second chapter in verse number 4. Watch what he says here. He says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." At the end of the day, as we leave this life and enter eternity, we'll be dealing with God, or God will be dealing with us, you might say. And so the question is an important question. You'll find it through scriptures, is, are we pleasing God? Am I pleasing God? There's a number of men mentioned in the Bible. We'll look at some tonight. But the introduction in pleasing God as a Christian duty. A Christian duty right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, it puts it in the parameter or our context as a duty, a Christian duty to please God. Aim of minister. It's the aim of the minister. We see here in the second chapter, and we read verse 4 where he says that we were put in trust of this gospel to preach it to you. And so you see it's the aim of a minister to please God, to preach the word and to teach the word and to use the word and what function that he uses. And so thirdly, we see through doing good. You say, well, that it's important to do good. I have a verse with that, and we're in the area, the neighborhood, you might say. Turn there to the right to Hebrews chapter 13, the latter part of Hebrews.
in the last chapter of Hebrews, and we see Hebrews chapter 13. Notice with me in verse 16 what it says here. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased. This is something that pleases God, that we are to do good deeds or good works. Now, we stress here very clearly, very plainly, and the Bible does, is good works and good deeds does not get you or take you to heaven. And I know religion out there, there's a few religions, and we won't go down that rabbit trail, but there's religions that will teach you, well, if you do something good, that will get you to heaven. And then when you get up in heaven, it's, you get on this scale, and all the good things that you do get on one side, and all the bad things you've done get on the other side, and whichever you've done, or whichever is the heaviest, outweighs, hopefully your good outweighs your bad. How many have heard that? I have. I've heard that. And that's not true. That's not what the Bible says. What's going to happen, according to scriptures, is Jesus Christ and his righteousness and what he did on the cross is going to be on one side. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. He lived a perfect life. He lived a sinless life. There was no sin in him. Neither did he know any sin. And he was put on a cross. He was crucified, oh, by the way, by the religious people of that day. And he was buried and he rose again. So in heaven, God says, that sacrifice I'm pleased with. That work I'm pleased with. Because he kept the law and he was the ultimate eternal sacrifice. And he resurrected. So in heaven, when we get up there, all our good deeds, if you're going to go by your works, is going to be on one side and God's works are going to be on the other side. I hope you're better than God. I don't think you are. And so that's not going to work out. God wants to see his son's righteousness when he looks at you. And so if you accept Jesus Christ, God sees you through the eyes of his son and his work. That's what you trust in this morning if you want to get saved. You trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You're looking at what Christ had done for all humanity. He said he come to die for the sins of the world. And so we look at that. So looking at the responsibility, am I pleasing God? How would I please God today? Well, number one, if you're a Christian, it is a duty to please or be pleasing to God. Secondly, we said that is the aim or goal of a minister to please God through conducting himself purely through the scriptures, using it rightly. And then we see thirdly, through doing good. It's important. And so fourthly, we look at men through the Bible that is mentioned. Think of Moses. We think of, you even go back before Moses to Noah. It says, the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And so there was all a bunch of wickedness around them in that time, in that day. And so we see, he saw a man there, Noah. And by the way, he preached for 120 years righteousness and 8 souls were put into the ark. His family said, wow, there wasn't a revival. There wasn't somebody that just thought a little bit about believing or accepting what Noah was preaching of that day. No, there wasn't. Just his family. And so we see that there were men in the Bible. I think of Enoch as we go down. Enoch was a fine example of pleasing God. We were in Hebrews. You still might be. Look at Hebrews again. Hebrews chapter 11. I'll shoot back over there. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's see what it says about Enoch. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 5, are we pleasing God this morning? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And so there are men through the Bible that the Bible records that pleased God. Think of David. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. You think of Solomon. You go down through the Kings and you get down into the New Testament. I think of a man that we have preached on a little of 4 or 5 weeks ago about Barnabas. And the Bible said that he was a good man. He was a good man. And so one that was pleasing to God and God made note of it. So let me say, first of all, looking at, am I pleasing God? We see, number one, those who are not pleasing God. We'll build a contrast this morning, and I'll try to watch the time here, but we'll build a contrast on those who are not pleasing, and then those who are pleasing. Those who are not, they that live only for themselves, are not pleasing to God. What's the Bible? I'm reminded of Romans. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me this morning. Hopefully you do. Romans, I want to go to Romans chapter 15. Look at verses 1 through 3, Romans chapter 15. And we're speaking of those or looking at those that live for themselves. A selfish type person. I believe if you probably wouldn't have to think too long about someone you might know that was a selfish type person. And they have certain character traits that you could use to define that type of a person. Watch this, what the Bible says in Romans chapter 15 in verse 1. It says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." It's kind of the Paul, the writer here, was admonishing this Roman church, and they were dealing with selfishness in the church. Notice with me verse 2. "Let every one of you, of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that he reproached thee fell on me." And that's a phrase from the Old Testament. It's exactly what happened to Christ on the cross. He died for you and me. He did not die for himself. He gave his life. And so we see that selfish people are not pleasing to God. If this morning, I know, looking inside, and I don't have to look too deep, there is selfishness in every one of us. There's a part of it. And if we allow it to captivate us or to control us, we become selfish in our thoughts, selfish in our ways, selfish in our actions, in our interactions, selfish in our relationships that we have. And a lot of times it's just being honest with ourselves and realizing that we're a selfish type people. We're a selfish being. And so often we see in Scripture that people who are selfish are not pleasing to God. We see they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Those that operate in the flesh, and we're kind of in that theme, we're in Romans. Let's look at another verse in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. Notice what Scripture says here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. It says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You say, what does that mean? What is that? How would somebody be in the flesh? Well, it's pretty easy. You just kind of live for self. You know, there's certain things that you like, certain things that if you allow to take hold of you, it's going to take your time. It's going to take everything about you. And you kind of selfishly give yourself to over to that, whether it's a hobby. It could be a person. It could be an individual. It could be work. It could be a career. It could be a number of things. And so the Bible warns us and tells us that, listen, you want God to be at the top. You want to be pleasing to God because it's profitable if you're pleasing to God. You know what happens to the flesh? It gets old. It gets sick. It eventually is going to die. There's something wrong with you and I and the whole human race. And so the Bible tells us that those that live in the flesh or for themselves, you might say, cannot please God. The Bible says there's something else, another person. They that only seek to please men are not pleasing to God. Sad to say, this is sometimes part of religion in today. You say, well, you're a preacher. Yeah. And it can be easily caught up in trying to please men, what men want to hear, rather than what God puts on your heart or shares or shows you from the Word of God. But they that seek to please men cannot please God. I want to share a verse with you. I know we're doing some turning this morning, but we're not really going anywhere in a hurry. It's raining, probably still outside. Let's enjoy the moment and noodle around in our Bibles. And if I can get turned over to the right place, Galatians is where I want to go. I'll finally get there. Galatians. Notice with me in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10 is the verse we want. It says, "For do I now persuade men or God?" is the question. "Or do I seek to please men?" is the question. "For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." And so he was putting forth again to the Galatian people here, the Apostle Paul, that it's important to remember that we shouldn't go about to please men, but to please God. I was taught at a younger age, whether it stuck or not, but I do remember it, is listen, if you want people to like, if you're worried about people liking you, the first thing you need to do is have a great or a good relationship with God. Because if you have a great relationship with God, a close relationship with God, then more than likely God will make a way for you before men. And that is taught in Proverbs over and over again. That principle is a biblical principle. So it's important to have, if you please, your ducks in a row. And if you want to be pleasing to God, if you can answer that question, am I pleasing to God this morning? What would it be? What would it be in the heart? Am I a selfish person? Am I tend to prone to walk in the flesh as a Christian? Am I seeking primarily to please men rather than pleasing God? Well, there's another one that the Bible speaks of when we were in Hebrews, and I'm going to take you to Hebrews chapter 11, and I can read it to you if you get tired of turning, but Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but this is a person that has no faith. Those that do not have faith cannot please God, the Bible says. Notice what Scripture says as we read it, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Predominantly through the human nature, we don't have a tendency to want to seek God. Oh, when I say that, I mean when things are going well, when things are pretty kosher, everything's going well, going good. It's when the wheels fall off of life. It's when the storm comes our way. It's when the obstacle seems so big you can't see the other side that we begin to pray or seek after God because we need something greater than us, our power, our source, and we seek God. We begin to pray for God. See, what is God? God's there, but God would rather you always pray to God. Have some faith, even in the good times, not just the bad times, but all times. And have some faith. Those that have no faith cannot please God, the Bible says. So these are four descriptions of a person who is not able to please God. And so when looking at the question this morning, am I pleasing God this morning? Are you pleasing God? If we were to take somebody who knew you pretty well, let's say if you were married, maybe your spouse, and ask your spouse, does your spouse please God? What would they say? And maybe your children, if you had children, grandchildren or something, maybe we could ask them that question. Does your parents please God? Does your grandparents please God? What would they say? Would they say, I don't even know who God is. I don't know. What would they say about you in pleasing God? This morning the question is, are you pleasing God? It's a personal question. And so looking at those who are not able to please God, let's look at the contrast. Those who are pleasing God. Those who ask right things from God. Remember Solomon of old. Solomon was coming. He was a young man. His father had passed off the scene, and the throne, he had taken the throne, he'd become king. And as a young man, he began to ask God, but he didn't ask God for riches. He didn't ask God for castles or kingdoms. He asked God for wisdom and understanding. And God said, well, because you've asked this, you've asked the right thing, I'll give you everything else. And it's a picture of a person, a young person, who was able to ask the right question. He was wanting to please God. Solomon is a great picture of that. I know later on in life, it didn't seem like he cared whether he pleased God or not. He pleased self later on in his life. But he started off wanting to please God. And his question to God was, God, would you grant me wisdom and understanding? And God did. God answered his prayer. And we see that in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9. And he was able to discern between good and evil very well. And it says that the speech pleased the Lord in what Solomon had said in his wisdom. Secondly, not only those who ask right things to God. You know, we go to God maybe generally when the wheels are falling off. But how about when things are going well and everything seems to be okay? You're thankful to God? You ask God, I'm thankful for what you've given me. The blessings that I enjoy every day, the gift to still breathe air, to be somewhat healthy. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my family, my house, my home, my cars, the things that I have. Because these things don't consist in ourselves. A selfish person would think that. But they consist and they're given to you from God. And so it's important to understand that asking the right things to God, it's pleasing to God. Secondly, we see a person, those who are separated. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, I'll read it. It says, no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. This morning, as a Christian, a saved person, you and I are in a battle. We're in a spiritual warfare. That's why it's important to maintain a good relationship with God and the Word of God. And so here, those that are separated for God, Christians who are not separated, that do not have that good or close relationship with God, they'll struggle. And the Bible speaks, even in Timothy, that they're tossed about. They're tossed about with this. They're tossed about with that. And it says that some should depart from the faith, giving heed to multiple things. The Bible said giving heed to doctrines of devils. And it goes on and on there in 2 Timothy. But we see those that are separated unto God are pleasing to God. God likes someone who is separated unto him. Thirdly, we see those who are wholly yielded to God. Those who are wholly yielded to God. Now, God worketh in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Hebrews chapter 13. Those who are wholly yielded to God. It's important. Everybody, we have a will. And when you hear the word of God preached or taught, or when God pricks your heart, you might read a verse, maybe hear a sermon. And then God begins to work with your heart in areas of your life that need to be changed. Are you a yielded type person who is yielding to the Holy Spirit talking to you in your heart? Or are you cold and hard and you kind of resist and you'd be the opposite of yielding? God likes a person who is wholly yielded to him. And so we see, fourthly, of those who are pleasing to God, those who walk with God. Remember Enoch, we mentioned Enoch briefly. Enoch, it said he walked with God. We read that in Hebrews chapter 11. And Enoch was a man, he's kind of unique because he's one of the few men that he didn't really taste death like most of people do when they get old and they pass away. They have death. Enoch was translated. He was caught up. God took him. And so you say, wow, that is neat. It is. And he's kind of like a type of the church. We call it the catching away or the translation of the church when God calls his body or his church home. And Enoch is a type of that. But those who walk with God, back on walking with God, is pleasing to God. Romans is full of that. 1 Corinthians is full of it. 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians is full of Christian getting the victory over the flesh and walking in the Spirit in their life, being productive and being fruitful and being planted and rooted up with strength from the Word of God, having a relationship, or if you please, walking with God. Those are pleasing people, those who walk with God. We think, lastly, those who praise God. I like this in Psalms chapter 69. Psalms chapter 69. Psalms chapter 69 in verse 30. Notice here what it says, speaking of those who please God. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. In verse 31, this also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. And it's kind of neat how the writer described or descripted what he wrote there about pleasing God. And those, I believe the Bible's speaking of, and the writer saying those that praise God are pleasing to God. This morning is the Lord's Day. You have chosen to come to church to please God. You've come to church to worship God. And God likes those who praise and worship his name. It's a good thing. This morning, the question is, are you pleasing to God? So, well, not all the time. Me neither. There's times when I know I'm not pleasing to God and trying to get that right. But we see, number one, praise God in word is the easiest. Out of praising God by word, it's pretty easy to say that I love God. I want to worship God. I want to please God in my life, in my home, in my work. Whatever God blesses me with, I want to be pleasing to God. But the question is, do you praise God in your giving? How about giving? Now, there's You can give three or four different ways. You can give of your time. This morning you're giving of your time. You probably give of your tender, the money that you have. You've given to God. And then thirdly, how about your talent? Everybody has a talent or gift from God, maybe more than one. Are you willing to use your talent for God? Do you praise God through your giving? Do you praise God in your service? Do you praise God in your daily walk with Him? See, I don't even have a daily walk with Him. If you are a saved individual, a Christian, you should have a walk, a daily walk with Christ. Do you praise God in your love and study of this Bible? See, I don't even read the Bible, let alone study it. You realize how much time I have, or little time that I have? The work, family, hobbies, things to do, things that I'm caught up in, things that I'm involved in. I don't have time to read the Word of God. Listen, we all have the same amount of time. It's just how we handle the time or how we schedule that time. And we've got time to read God's Word because, you know, this world and this life, it's not all a bed of roses. It's not a bed of roses. There's things coming down the pike, things down the road that we'll have to deal with, decisions that we'll be faced with where we're going to need God's help. And it doesn't matter what age, whether you're young, middle-aged, older, it doesn't matter. You will be faced with decisions that you'll need God and God's help. Let me ask this morning, can you praise God in your obedience and submission to God's Word? And that obedience really is very simple, but it hinges on your action of your will, because you have a will. It's your decision, just like it was my decision. You've heard it before. If you've heard my testimony at 5 years old, my will, my decision at that time, 1982, was to accept Christ. So to obey the Word of God, God is simply saying, look, He's not willing that any perish. We know there's something wrong with us. We know there's something wrong with the whole world. Death is the proof of that. There's graveyards all over the place. You cannot sidestep death. And then after death, eternity. What happens then? Well, according to scriptures, it's just getting started. But here's the thing. Here's the catcher. If you leave this world and enter eternity, there's no more decision making on that side. The decision making is on this side of eternity. And so in that moment, in this moment this morning, dealing with am I pleasing God, one of the simplest ways and most sure ways of pleasing God is obeying His Word. Let me share with you here in closing, Romans. Take your Bibles, if you would, one more time to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now, all the way through the first part of Romans, we don't have time for this morning, but the Bible is dealing with a group of people that thought they were righteous. They thought that because they were of a certain sect, a nationality, that they did not need salvation. Kind of like an American today. We have one of the greatest countries in the world. Whichever way you want to look at it, we have plenty of food for now. We have cars, we have houses, we have retirements, 401ks, we have money. You can hold more than one job down. I mean, it's endless America. That's why people are crawling up over fences to get into America. It's a great country. And so like the people in Romans, that nationality of people, the Jewish people of that time, they thought, well, God had given us the oracles. God had spoken to us first. We're His chosen people. So, you know, dealing with the salvation thing, all are sinners, all are unrighteous. And the Bible says, no, not one, in Romans 3:23, Romans 5:8. We get into some of that question, and Paul concludes that all are under condemnation. Death is the proof that all are under condemnation. Sin has reigned from all the way from the beginning of Adam. Why did God do that? God didn't do that. God gave man a free will. He left him with one commandment. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good. One, just one, one rule. Not two, not three, one. And it wasn't to eat a certain fruit. But it was their will. And the reason why it was their will, because He gave them the option and He told them not to eat of it. He just didn't put in their brain and DNA, they're not going to eat of this tree and everything will be fine. He gave them a will because He loved you. So you get to make the choice. This morning, you get to make a choice. Do I want to please God? So from that moment of the fall on our chart there, the fall, what enters human race from that time on, child after child after child, all the way down to you and I today, our generation, there's something wrong with us. That's why we're dying. Ultimately, we face death. Death reigns, the Bible said. From sin, then sin to death, and from death. But it says that righteousness reigned in Romans chapter 5, and grace reigned. How? Through Jesus Christ in the cross. Jesus Christ knew that there was a problem. And he says, look, I'm just not going to let them die. So he's going to send his son. That's why Jesus come. We just kind of celebrated that in December, the birth of Christ. And so he lived 33 and a half years and he was sent to the cross. And there he hung and died for you and I in the sins of the whole world. The past, the present at that time, and the future. We're in the future. Now we look back at the cross, and the Bible says this about a person wanting to obey the word of God. And it's this. It's this. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. And he says that how can a person accept Christ? How is this done? Well, it's done with the heart because it has to be you and your will. But watch what it says here in verse 9, Romans 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, there he is. You say, how would I confess? What do you mean when it says confess? You're agreeing with God that you need a Savior, Jesus Christ, that there's a sin problem, that we're all sinners. The Bible says we're all unrighteousness. There's none righteous, no, not one. And he says, so if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Do you believe that this morning? I know it at 5 years old. I believed, I still believe, that God raised his son from the dead. That's around Easter time, the resurrection time. That's coming up. You say, why does the whole world celebrate that? Because it happened in history. And God had raised the third day, the Bible says. He said, God hath raised him from the dead. And he says that if you believe this, thou shalt be saved. Now watch verse 10. For with the heart man believeth. You say, well, I thought I had to get baptized. It's nothing to do with baptism. He said, well, I thought I had to join the church. Don't I have to join a church, be a member, you know, part of a church? No, it doesn't say that anywhere. Maybe I had to shake the preacher's hand. I've got to come down the aisle. That's part of it. It doesn't say that. It says with the heart. It says with the heart, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now watch verse 13, just in case that wasn't clear enough. It says in verse 13, for whosoever. I thought it was just maybe just for the Americans. Nope. I thought it was maybe just for the Jewish people. Nope. Who is it for? It's for whosoever, it says, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember Nicodemus, the religious man. He was confused, and the Lord introduced the new birth. And he says, ye must be born again. This morning, are you pleasing to God? Have you ever been pleasing to God? Well, this morning, one of those ways that God would love to see you be pleasing to him is to accept his word that his son died on a cross for the whole world. You say, is everybody going to get saved? Everybody has a will. Probably not. God knoweth, the Bible said. But it's not willing that any should perish. And so pleasing this morning is realizing what God has done for you and I. I accepted him when I was 5 years old. There's a number of testimonies in here that are amazing, flat amazing. How God worked in their lives and they come to know the Lord. It might have been on a deathbed. It might have been in your car. Mine was at an altar on a bale of straw. My brother was, I think he was saved in a bedroom. There are all kinds of stories. My former pastor, Brother Charlie Davis, he was riding a city bus, reading a gospel tract. That's his testimony. He was a religious man and come to know the Lord on a city bus. There's millions of testimonies that people have willing to accept what the Word of God said about being saved this morning as we stand. And we're going to pray as the pianist comes and the song leader comes. Whether you're a Christian, you know that you're saved. Are you pleasing to God? Say, well, it's not been easy the last year. I know it has not been an easy year, 2020. You say, well, I don't know if I've ever accepted Christ. I don't know if I've ever been pleasing to God. I didn't know if anybody could be pleasing to God. This morning, you can be pleasing to God, accepting His word on the fact that His Son paid the sin debt of the world, and believing that you need that Savior, believing in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is well-pleasing to God. That would bring Christ honor and glory of accepting Him, who He really is. Is He Lord of your life? Is He Lord of your life this morning?